It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
News Podcast presents Brett Baer's All-Star Panel.
America's got to be in the lead if you want to deal with these threats. We're going to lead.
The morning is over. The Shiva is done. And if you're a conservative, you should be optimistic.
You know, my main priority right now is making sure that it delivers for the American people.
We have to make our country great again, and I will do that.
I think the president gets criticized by people all the time for the stuff he says, by people who ignore what he does.
Now, Fox's chief political anchor, Brett Baer.
Democracy 2022 rolls on with tonight's focus on highly contested races in Pennsylvania and North Carolina.
And we're seeing unaffiliated voters voting at a much greater rate than any other primary in our past several years.
This as President Biden prepares for his first Asian summit later this week. More on these stories and more, we bring in our panel, President and co-founder of Real Clear Politics, Tom Bevin, national political correspondent for NPR, Mara Liasson, and Republican strategist, former campaign manager for Senator Scott Brown, Colin Reed. Tom, tonight, obviously, a lot of focus on Pennsylvania and that Senate race and the Republican side in particular. Boy, it is coming down to the wire, and you wonder the power of the Trump vote, and it will be tested tonight.
It definitely will. I mean, this has turned into, I mean, for a moment, it seemed like it was a three-way race, and I guess it still is, but it seems to be more of a two-person race. You know, we had a final poll from the Trafalgar Group, which is a Republican polling firm, come out showing Oz up 2 points. We had an Emerson poll the day before that showing Oz up 5. So he's up about 2.5 points in our Real Clear Politics average. Barnett is right there, and McCormick is down about 19.6%. So he's fallen off a little bit, but it is absolutely, you know, according to all the data, Oz is ahead in every single poll, but not by much. And so Barnett certainly has a chance to win it. And, you know, the dynamics of this race have been really interesting with Trump, his endorsement of Oz. It upset a lot of conservatives. And then you had this Barnett surge just in the last couple of weeks from fifth place to second place. So a pretty interesting situation there, and it's going to be fun to watch tonight.
Yeah, Mara, as you look towards the general, whoever is in that Republican nominated seat is likely going to face the Lieutenant Governor Fetterman, who's, by the way, going under a procedure for pacemaker as we speak. And, you know, that matchup is fascinating.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, the Pennsylvania race, if you're a political junkie, there's nowhere better to be than Pennsylvania right now. It's insane, actually. So we don't know who's going to win the Republican race, but we are pretty sure that Fetterman will win the Democratic race, because the candidate who fit the mold of everything that we've been taught to believe is the only way Democrats can win Pennsylvania by nominating a moderate, Connor Lamb, he just never caught on. And so you have the lieutenant governor, the 6'8", bald, tattooed, Harvard graduate, of course, a guy who wears a hoodie and shorts 365 days a year. He was the front runner. And all of a sudden he had a stroke. He's in the hospital. And there are a lot of Democrats who are worried about his viability in a general election, but they also feel confident that they can beat Dr. Oz or Kathy Barnett. They thought that David McCormick was going to be the toughest to beat, the hedge fund guy who kind of fit the mold of the Pennsylvania moderate Republican. So who knows what's going to happen? But this is a wild, wild race all around. We haven't even talked about the governor's race.
Yeah. And I just think, Colin, it's interesting dichotomy, because you look at this race and we are always analyzing the power, political power of the former president. But it's also bigger about where the issues are for Pennsylvania and how Republicans are poised there and how Democrats are on defensive, and do the issues shift by the time we get to November?
Well, Brett, and to Tom's point, these three-person races always create interesting dynamics. It's not as though it's a one-on-one race. I think it's a three-way jump ball here, with the anti-Oz vote being split between two vessels in Barnett and McCormick. But I think the thing beyond just the endorsement of the former president and the significance that carries is this question of authenticity. And each of these Republican candidates has had their authenticity questioned in certain ways, about their motivations for running and why they were there. And I think that's why you've seen this late minute surge from Barnett. I'm not sure if she has enough time or runway to get over the finish line, and how much of it is just a media sensation, more so than actual momentum on the ground. And then on the Democratic side, John Fetterman, he's a larger than life personality in every sense of the word, and he oozes authenticity in many ways. But he's also far to the left, I would argue, as to where the electorate of the state is. He's someone who's been attacked by folks like James Carville, who's running a super PAC supporting Connor Lamb. He supports Medicare for all. He's someone who's been out there blasting Manchin and Sinema in the Senate for blocking Biden's agenda, for standing in the way of Build Back Better. And any way you slice and dice it, this is going to be a close election in the fall. Only once since 1988 as a Republican carried Pennsylvania at the presidential level, and that was Donald Trump in 2016. It's a blue state that has gotten slightly redder as the Democratic Party has moved left in recent years, but it's going to be a close race in the fall, no matter which way you look at it.
5 years ago today, May 17, 2017, Robert Mueller was appointed special counsel to investigate whether the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to influence the 2016 presidential election. Seems like a long, long time ago in a land far, far away. But here we are, and the Durham investigation is actually going to trial, with the trial of Michael Sussman, a Clinton lawyer. And Tom, you know, there is interest on the Republican side, obviously, but as this is laid out, and we're obviously following it day to day, the allegation is that this was meant to be some kind of October surprise, that the Clinton campaign was going to feed into the FBI and thereby start these questions, which in all accounts was very successful to bring questions about whether the former president was a Russian agent. And do people care about this as it moves forward? I know we do, because we followed it from the beginning, and a number of Republicans care about it. But in the broad populace, is it something that says, wait a second, that was wrong?
You know, that's a good question, Brad. I tend to think, to your point, I mean, this has been going on for so long now. And it really, once Trump left office, I do think Republicans, particularly Trump supporters, are invested in this and want to see a conviction here. And if they don't, they're going to be disappointed. And Democrats will crow and say, look, there was no hoax, or this wasn't coordinated through the Clinton campaign, et cetera, et cetera. But by and large, in terms of the political landscape, it's I don't think it really registers. It's not going to move a lot of votes. I don't think independents care about it. Certainly not when it's, you know, we've got record gas prices across the country, and people are really focused on their economic situation, among other things. So it is now, I think, you know, when Trump was in office, I mean, there's no question the daily drumbeat of this was a real problem for him. It definitely wore him down, his approval rating, his trust rating, all of that with the American public. But now it is more of just an inside the beltway thing that people who have followed this for 5 years on a sort of daily basis, you know, are still following this to its final conclusion.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it also affected his mood, his tweets.
Sure.
Everything.
Yep.
And you can imagine how that may have affected some votes along the way. And Mara, not to go too down in the weeds of this, but if they eventually get to this narrative that proves to be true, and they prove their case about him lying, and they kind of lay it out, will there be a come to Jesus moment in Washington?
Well, that's a good question, and there are a lot of ifs in there. I mean, this could be a very narrow case about whether Sussman lied or didn't lie, and it won't connect to some bigger meta narrative about how Trump was wronged. So I think we just have to wait and see. I feel like everything that's happening now is just so much more, has people's imaginations and attentions gripped so much more than the kind of Russia hoax, as Trump would put it, or Trump's willing acceptance of Russian help, as the Democrats would put it. I think that's really in the rearview mirror.
We'll hear more after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Colin, the president, going to Buffalo, the scene of that tragic shooting, horrible shooting, leaving 10 dead. The president saying this.
Jill and I have come to stand with you. And to the families, we've come to grieve with you. It's not the same, but we know a little bit what it's like to lose a piece of your soul.
Colin, it was interesting. He got very passionate, turned pretty political. And, you know, how does that pitch? Obviously, it's tragic. It's horrible. This is a mentally ill person who had a manifesto and all kinds of things. But in the broad picture of things, is the president going down the right road with this when maybe he doesn't go to the dozens of other shootings that happened in Chicago or Detroit or other places around the country?
Well, to me, it was a good thing he went. It was good for the president to be seen there. But I think a more concerning trend is this only willingness to call out evil. And that's what happened over the weekend in Buffalo. When it suits one's political needs or political narrative, we should be able to at least come together in moments like this and put the political barbs down for a second and reflect and heal as a nation. And for all people, Joe Biden is the guy, of course, who ran and promising to heal this country and bring it together. So if there was ever a time not to be having a political agenda, you'd think it'd be at a moment like this. And hopefully it's something that we this country can at some point move on for and let cooler heads prevail.
Now, Tom,
look, this is a movie that we've seen, unfortunately, a number of times in recent years, and it always plays out the same way. It's unfortunate because everything in our life now is so political. And so Democrats immediately try and, you know, tie this to Republicans. We saw all sorts of articles saying that they, you know, this person didn't represent, you know, a lone wolf. He was actually the mainstream of the Republican Party. People have been taking after Tucker Carlson and others about the great replacement theory and all of that. It's unfortunate that that's how this debate tends to go. But as far as the, you know, sort of political impact, I mean, there's no, and we'll have a conversation, you know, Democrats will gravitate toward guns, Republicans will gravitate toward, mental health and just individual evil, but nothing will change, particularly in an election year where Democrats have such slim majorities in the House and the Senate. So unfortunately, this is a replay of a movie we've seen far too many times.
Is there any danger here, Mara, on either side? Obviously, we're talking about different things that are very excitable. And when you go down that road, it fires up somebody that shouldn't be fired up.
Well, yeah. Well, look, there's a big worry about copycat crimes. Don't forget that we've now had a series of mass shootings around the world, New Zealand, Pittsburgh Synagogue, and now Buffalo, where they all seem to have been inspired by each other and by on the kind of edges of the dark web, where they are proponents of this ideology of hatred of immigrants that they feel are going to replace white people. Whether that's a form of mental derangement or not, we can argue about it. But this doesn't seem to be an isolated incident. Now, you know, what to do about it is a whole other question. I agree with Tom. There certainly is not going to be gun restrictions passed in Congress. And I don't really know what else can be done except for a law enforcement focus on this kind of domestic terrorism.
Yeah. And I hate the whole whataboutism. I hate the whole back and forth about stories like this. I mean, getting lost in the mix is obviously the families dealing with this loss. It is good to see the president consoling those families and taking time. But not to play the whataboutism, we spent zero time talking about the shooter of that was espousing progressive ideology and Bernie Sanders loyalty at that baseball field, shooting GOP lawmakers. And there was not, Tom, a analysis of what that meant in the bigger picture. I do think this is, you know, right and just, and there should be, everybody should be calling it out. But I do think there has to be some kind of big picture, 30,000 foot balance to it all. Last word.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, that's kind of how this goes. I mean, you have a media complex that anything that fits the preconceived narrative, right, is pushed forward. I mean, just go look at the New York Times this morning. I mean, there are 7 stories on the Buffalo attack. One of them is talking about, racist attack spotlights, Stefanik's echo of replacement theory, Republicans play on fears of great replacement and bid for base voters. I mean, you know, and to your point, other tragedies that don't fit the narrative kind of get glossed over, including the one in Waukesha. I mean, Biden didn't even go there. And that was one that I think, Republicans look at that and think that because that didn't fit the narrative, it didn't get the kind of scrutiny and media frenzy that this one is getting. And so it is, again, it's an unfortunate thing that this is the way these things go and have gone for far too many times. And you'd like to see everybody kind of, especially around moments like this, tragedies like this, lay down their partisan, weapons and console the victims and try and move forward. But that's just not that's not the political environment we're in right now.
Last thing, as we turn the page kind of on COVID, there's some thoughts of COVID coming back, Colin, in different areas. Other people are saying it's never going to leave, but we're dealing with it as a country. And there are more and more stories, even in the New York Times, about how it turns out that the fatality rates among young kids or 25 and younger were minuscule, and policy was wrong in dealing with how the shutdowns worked. This was a piece over the weekend, didn't get a lot of pickup, but do you think we are going to see a reanalysis of how bad perhaps the public policy decisions were in the early days?
Absolutely. And look, hindsight is always 20/20, especially in the once in a lifetime or once in a century pandemic like this. But I certainly think especially the policies as it relates to the development of kids in schools is going to be one that the long arc of history is not going to be kind toward as far as our public policy. And I also think there's some chatter now looking ahead a bit if cases tick up. I know there's some places in New York City New York State is beginning to encourage mask wearing in indoors in certain places. I just think there's very little appetite amongst the American public as a whole to go back to any of these measures. The purpose of these vaccines was supposed to provide a sense of normalcy, was to provide people the ability to go get vaccinated and then go live your life. That was kind of the deal. And if any of these politicians try and go backwards, it just seems to me the appetite there is not there. And it's gonna be an uphill climb. And we as a society are all gonna have to learn how to live with the risk, manage the risk, mitigate the risk as we best see fit. But going back to mandatory lockdowns or some of these other measures that were in place over the last few years, it seems like a non-starter.
Yeah, Mara, I mean, caution is one thing, but politically, how does this play?
Oh, look, you talk about what will we review these decisions. The political reckoning has already started. One of the main reasons that there's not a Democratic governor of Virginia is because of this. There's no doubt that the public has decided that it was an overreaction and a wrong choice to keep kids either out of school for as long as they were kept out of school, or in some cases to keep them masked in school. So I think that reckoning has already started. I think the big thing that we've learned that I hope that there can be consensus on is that vaccines work. And the more people who are vaccinated and boosted, the less of a problem COVID's going to become at all ages. But yeah, I think that there's the public has rendered some pretty harsh judgments about people who thought keeping things locked down was the right way to go.
All right, guys, thank you. Now for a bit of history. May 17th, 1954, a landmark ruling. The Supreme Court decided unanimously that racial segregation in public schools violates the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. Brown versus Board of Education decision declared that separate schools for white and black students were inherently unequal. The decision would help usher in the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s. That'll do it for this week. You can hear more of this series at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. We want to hear from you. For Colin, Tom, and Mara, I'm Brett Baer. We'll see you next time.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.